book. Some of you couldn't be here today. We understand that. Just glad that we can reach out to you by Facebook and the radio, too, if you're on that 98.1, I believe it is. Everybody will be happy over there. That'll be a day, won't it? Are you happy? Say amen if you are. Amen. That's what it says. We're not always happy down here below, but I believe we can be happy some here. Amen. We have something to be happy about. If we're saved, we do. And if we're not, then we don't have anything to be happy about. A lot of people are not happy in our world today. I hope that you're not one of them, that generally, you know, we're not always happy, but generally, that we would be considered to be happy people. God's people, historically, have been happy, right? And happy people do what? Sing. Do you know that? Happy people sing. We need to be a singing people, rejoicing and praising the Lord. Well, I'm going to preach something to you that I preached a few years ago. I don't have a date, and I didn't care to look through trying to find it because I'm not good at keeping up with stuff. You know that by now. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It's a little story about, I guess you could say, sibling rivalry. It's also a story about priorities. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, verse 48, the Word of God reads, "Now it came to pass that they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Verse 41, Jesus' words and his response to Martha's request. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And I thought about that this week, and that describes us a lot of times, doesn't it? I think that would be a pretty good description of the culture that we live in today. People's got lots of things on their minds, and we're troubled about many things. A lot going on. Life is busy. I want to ask you today, are you troubled about many things? Got a lot of stuff going on up here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. We live in trying times, demanding times. That demands us to do a lot of thinking, to go over a lot of information, and to be concerned about lots of things. Lord, many are troubled about many things. All of us at times are. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word today and encourage us, dear Lord, and show us the paths that you'd be pleased for us to walk in. Lord, help us to rid ourselves of the overload of information and the worrying and all those things, and and to trust you. And Father, we pray if there be anybody here today, especially that this word is directed to, I pray that you would open their hearts that they might receive the gospel of Jesus Christ today. For it's in His name we pray. And amen. And amen. So, we take it that Martha would be the older of the siblings. She is the one who invites a very special guest into her home. We know that our Lord was very good friends with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Don't forget him. He's the one that Jesus raised from the dead. It is most likely in their home that Jesus spent the last few days, as he walked the earth that last week in Jerusalem before he was crucified. A couple miles out of Jerusalem, Bethany's probably where they're at here today. And Jesus would often stay in their home. They were good friends. In days gone by, good friends opened their home. We live in a different time today. I realize that. And know the pastors do too. And you have to be careful, how you call on people anymore, cold calls and that thing. But there was a time, we remember, we grew up, that, evangelists would stay in our home that come to preach here, and different things like that. People at the association meetings would come and spend the night with you and stuff like that, and I'd wake up as a child, who are these people in our home? It'd be people from Kentucky or somewhere that I'd never seen or heard of, but my parents, they would welcome them into our homes, and many of your folks did too. That was a different culture. That changed, different things. We just not living like that anymore, and that's some sad thing to that, but it is what it is. But during this time, they didn't have motels either, and so Jesus would often stay in the home of these good friends. And Martha, being the one that reached out and invited him to stay, she seems to be in charge of the dinner and the arrangements, and she's thinking, we say that the Martha servants, there's some who have the spirit of Martha. They serve, and there is a place for that. Amen. There is a place for servants. Somebody has to do these things. Somebody has to cook the meals. Somebody has to make the arrangements. And some of that gets demanding. We had that meeting a few weeks ago, we had to put together some stuff, and we're always trying to figure how many people will come, will we have enough, what do we need to do, all these, there's planning that go into these things, and it takes effort to do that, and we appreciate those ladies who have the spirit of Martha, and they serve, and they do. And Jesus is not trying to belittle Martha for her spirit of being a servant, but in the end, he's going to teach us that there are more important things than that. We don't want to miss that, but the Bible says here that the sister who is Mary here sat and heard the word. She is, more interested in hearing the word, hearing the things about the kingdom of God. That has a little more priority in her life. And so Martha is a little put out, and she's going about trying to make, we sure want to feed the master well. Amen? We want to do that, right? We want to feed our guests well when we have homecoming and dinners and those sort of things. We those things don't just happen. It takes some effort and some thought, some planning into doing all that. And so Martha is just almost overcome because of the much serving, the the details. A lot of details to go into those things. And it appears that Martha was one for details, you know. She wanted to be sure. She had things put together and the meal was appropriate for the master after all. And so she asked Jesus, you know, don't you care that I've got all this to do and my sister is sitting right there with the men and all listening to you teach and talk about the good news of the kingdom. And I'd appreciate it if you'd just tell her to come and help me, you know. Come and help me. And Jesus says, and he does not admonish her. Listen, the Bible says that we speak the truth how? In love. Nobody spoke the truth in love like Jesus. Now, he could speak it with emphasis too, if he needed to, but in this case, the environment was not such that he should admonish, but that he should speak kind words of love and kind words of healing here for Martha, so she could rediscover something that we must rediscover from time to time, that we must remind ourselves of, or, you know, we get caught up like Martha with so much going on. And so he simply calls her name twice, Martha, Martha. And you can imagine the Savior's face as he reached out in love to Martha, who is concerned about and doing a good job. Martha, you're doing an outstanding job here, but settle down, Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You've got lots of things on your mind. I understand that. And then he says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that, you know, and that is to take advantage of the word of life that is right before her here, and that shall not be taken away from her. You know, you'll never be sorry for worship. You know, service has its place, and worship has its place, and we, you know, I've enacted a rule that we try to go by here through the board of deacons and all, and we have people who come to in our parking lot and they need help, financial help usually, and that sort of thing, and I just say we'll talk about that after church. This is a worship hour. You know, I've got to try to preach here in a minute, and I can't deal with this. We will be glad to try to accommodate you and help you if you will stay and worship with us. You know, worship comes first. 99% of them say, I don't have time for that. I had one just a couple of weeks ago. A lady in a hurry. Hey, I need help. I got to go to Nashville, sick, brother, brother. You're troubled about many things. I said, I can appreciate your circumstance and all this, but I can't talk to you about it now. This is the hour of worship. We'd be glad to talk to you if you'll stay with us. And after church, when worship is over, then we'll take those things up. But now is the time of worship. I don't have time. I don't have time. Phew. I'm sorry. Listen, there's nothing more important than worship, you know. And we better make time for that. And Jesus, with love here to Martha, is just trying to teach. He said, what you're doing is important. It is. Because we're going to enjoy this good meal here in a few minutes. But now is the hour of worship, and your sister has chosen that. And that's something that will never be taken from her. You know, never be Your time is well invested in the Lord's house in worship. You know, you'll not regret worship. True worship is not something you're going to regret. You're not going to say, Well, I wished I hadn't spent my time in the house of God. It's a common thing that nobody ever on their deathbed says, I wish I'd spent more time at work. You know, when we face death, we will not regret any minute that we spent among God's people hearing the good news about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, you know, in a loving, kind way here, not to embarrass her before the friends and all that, but just to, let's get priorities right here. Martha, you're troubled about, oh, you've got so much on your mind. But listen, first things first, right? The worship here that we're enjoying in your fine home here, that comes first, the things of God. So, I think there's a great deal of people alive today, and us at times, all of us are guilty of this, are troubled about many things. It can be our health. It can be job. It can be school. It can be finances. It can be world matters, world news. You know, recently, Mom keeps her news channel on 24 hours. Mom, I don't know if that's good for you. Sit and watch that 24 hours a day. And she quit doing that some. She's doing a little more now, but maybe I'll talk to her again. In love and kindness, life is complicated. You know, physical labor is not what it used to be. You know, 50 years ago, there was more toiling, physical labor involved in the things that we do. And there's still some of that, and there'll always be some of that. But today, there is the mental strain about day to day. Wow. People going to and fro, that's Bible in the last days. And we're seeing that, so many people going to and fro. You know, it's just amazing the amount of traffic that's on the highways this day and time. I don't know how they keep them being more highway deaths with all the traffic that is out there. It's going on. People have a lot going on in their minds. And a lot of people are troubled about a lot of things. And to the point that they are overloaded, you know, and they're burdened down and struggling in life. Well, God tells us to pause, and you know, He understands that these things are important to us and they do concern us. Brother Jerry Hollingsworth had a saying, if it's concerning to you, it's concerning to the Lord. You know, your troubles and concerns are concerning to Him too, but He has a word for us to get our priorities, you know, in order and focus upon the main thing. And once we focus upon the main thing, then that'll help us put the other things into their place. If we wake up every day knowing that God is on the throne, you know, we got lots of problems here, but I'm starting out my day knowing what, number one, that I'm saved. That'll help you. That'll help you to have a better day. God is on the throne, and He is not in any danger of abdicating the throne and giving it up. He is in control. Well, we can make it then, can't we? We can work these other things in. In the gospel of, and this is in at least three of the Gospels, the story about the seed and the sower, and just a few verses in Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells this parable. I'm going to read a few verses. Mark chapter 4, and He began to teach by the seaside. There was a gathering unto Him a great multitude, and He entered into the ship, and He had what we call the floating pulpit, and sat down and taught the people on the seashore. And He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in His doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, and withered away. And here's what I want to talk to you about. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up an increase and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And then down as he elaborated and explained this parable, verses 18 and 19, talking about those sown among the thorns. It's where we're at today with our overload and all these things keeping up. These are they which fell among and sowed among the thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world. There is a lot going on in this world, isn't there? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, and it choke the word and becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world, trying to keep up and meet all our obligations and to go and to do this and do that. There's a lot to do. You know, there's a lot of ball playing. I like ball games and ball playing, but, you know, it's such a demand on people anymore. And school children, there's all kinds of activities, and you don't have much free time on your hand to do all of these things going. And Jesus said, those who have heard the word and then the cares of the world, these things begin to choke it out. Our minds can only absorb so much. We've only got so much room for stuff in there, you know. And there is Bible, one of the scriptures says that our first duty, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that essentially means with all your being. With all your being. You know, not just serve the Lord a little here and there, but to give Him our best. You know, the offerings in the Old Testament had to be choice, the best. God wants, He doesn't want our leftovers. If we get caught up in trying to do too much, we wind up of giving God what's left over, and there ain't nothing left over this day. The troubles about many things leave no room for the things of God in life. That's why people have abandoned church today. That's why church is in decline, because people don't have time for it. They don't have time. Their priorities are in other places. If things fall, if the stars align, if everything works good, there was a time that on today, did you know today, fall back an hour, was strategically used for years by Sunday school promotion because it gave people an extra hour to get ready and come to church. That no longer works anymore. I remember when I was at Blues Chapel, we had those promotions, and we'd done all that stuff, and it worked. You know, we'd try to have our biggest attendance. That's back when Sunday school was in her prime, too. We're talking about the 90s, the late 80s. They had a program, you know, and they'd say, invite the mayor of your town, invite some dignitaries, invite people, and encourage your people. This falls on the Sunday that time falls back, and tell people that, you know, you're going to have an extra hour of sleep, and please come to church and Sunday school today. We'd love to hear. It's called Friend Day. You remember that? I guess we'd done it here before, but we... and it worked with success, you know. Not anymore. The extra hour today people use to sleep, I guess you could say, or leisure time, because we don't have time for the things of God, because we got all these other things. You invite people to church, well, you know, we got a lot going on, Pastor. We'll try to get down there and do it. There used to be an old saying, people would say, well, I'll get around to it. We went on a vacation once, the kids were small, to Arizona. We flew to Phoenix, rented a car, and drove around. We went to, I looked up a General Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. It's called the Valley of the Sun Church, and we made our way there and worshiped. It was some General Baptist folks that had migrated from Indiana, but anyhow, we went to church there, and afterwards, the pastor, he was a retired barber, Jack something, I remember his name, and he gave me a little round wooden thing that said "To It" on it. And he said, and it had the church name on the backside, and he said, you go around inviting people to church, and they say, we'll come when we get around to it. He said, give them that "To It." You've got your "To It." So come to church. So people will tell you, when I get around to it, we'll go, but these other things right now, unfortunately, have a priority, and we just don't have time to go to God's house. Now, we can expect that out of the world, but it also happens to God's people, those who have heard the word and know better, and they don't start out with a purpose of faith, but little by little things get crowded, so much going on, and we don't have time to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength as it is commanded us. There's only two. Jesus condensed all the 10 commandments to two. Love the Lord your God with all your being, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor yourself, and you're good on the rest of them. That covers them all. St. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2, if ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, set your affection, or your minds. There's another way of saying this. Set your affections, or your mind, on things above and not on things of the earth. You have to try. You have to discipline yourself. You know, my mind wanders. I'll assure you, we must discipline ourselves to set our minds and our thoughts upon heavenly thoughts. If you don't, you won't. You'll be thinking about worldly things, and worldly things do what? Bring trouble. Bring heartache, worry, and sorrows. Set your mind on things above, and not on things of the earth. Try that. When your mind wanders and you think about troubles and things of this world, discipline yourself. Think, I'm going to think about heavenly things. I'm going to think about the fact that I'm saved. I'm going to think about that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now to make an intercession for me, and I need it. Overloaded. Overloaded. There is an outbreak of mental illness in our country today. You know, it's at record highs, and we have a problem in this country. People are just losing it. Some of it is attributed by the fact that we're just overloaded, just too much, and a lot of people just break under the pressure. We see homeless people, you know, living on the side of the road, and you've seen it right here in our little small town. You know, people laying on the sidewalks and sleeping. So it's people who have just given in to this epidemic, who have just give up. give up on living. You know, it's too much of an overload, and they just say, I can't continue like that. Can't continue. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 5 and 7 that when we get overloaded, and you must recognize when you're getting in a danger zone, the Holy Spirit will help you. How can I recognize, Pastor, when I'm getting in a dangerous position, that I'm overloaded, and I've got too much on my mind? I'm troubled about many things, and the weight of those things is getting me down. You know it. You know, if you are saved, the Holy Spirit will help you recognize that. Hey, you're getting in a dangerous territory here. And the Bible tells us, and Peter here says, casting all your care upon Him. So what am I going to do when I get overloaded? Too much going on. I can't wrap my mind around all I got to do. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. Deadlines, all of these things. What can I do? Worry about kids, grandkids, jobs, all of these things. Casting all your care upon Him. All. That word all is important here in God's Word. You see, we think that we're strong enough, that we've been in the way enough, that we can handle these things. But history's proven us wrong, isn't it? The record is proven us wrong. Well, I'll give God the hard things, and I can manage all this. I've got this. You know, you hear people say, I've got this. I've got this. Have you? Casting all your care upon Him. Now, why would we do that? You know, to cast and ask for help from someone, you've got to be persuaded that they care for you. The Bible says, for He careth for you. If you're saved, you know the Lord cares for you. The Lord cared for Martha. He didn't admonish her and embarrass her there. He spoke words of love to her to help her. Martha, you are missing something here. You're missing. Think about what she was missing that day. The Son of God had come into her home by invite. She invited Him. She was doing her best to fix a nice meal because the Lord deserved to be fed. Amen? He did. And she was going to make that happen. And it took a lot of footwork, a lot of planning. You know, they didn't have the kitchens we have today. They had to do these things. And that was important. But what was she missing? The Son of God was sitting in her living room or her parlor, whatever it was, speaking the words of the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. And she was missing it. Sometimes we miss the things that are important because we're caught up in the many things, the details. I have to guard against that. I try to have everything. You may not know it, but I do. I try to keep up with everything, have everything ready, and sometimes it causes me maybe to miss the moment of worship. As being the pastor and responsible, you have to make sure this is took care of and all these things, but if we're not careful, we miss the worship. The worship. Trying to be prepared to preach the Word and be ready to go and miss the worship. Oh, let us guard against that. And when we get overloaded, let us cast all of our cares, not part of them. Jesus wants you to give it all to Him. All. You say, well, He's not interested in all these. Listen, a whole lot of little things turns into a big thing, doesn't it? And that's what weights us down. It's not usually the big things that get us. It's a combination and a cumulative total of all the pressures of this world demands upon us. Gets us down. And we get accustomed to living like that, and we think we can handle it. And Jesus says, you don't have to handle it. Just breathe. Cast these things upon me, and I will help you through. In his Sermon on the Mount, I've got to try to hurry. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches here, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, or for your body, what you should put on it. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? You cannot add one day to your life. And why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Jesus said, the world is consumed in these things, and they're burdened down with troubles upon every hand that consumes them. They have no time left for God and the things of God. Don't be like that. He is not saying that we should give no care for these things, but he's talking about priorities. All these things build up into big things. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Do you know that? Remind yourself every day, our heavenly Father knows what I need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mary has chosen the good part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. We'll get to the dinner in a minute, Martha, but right now we're talking about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Take therefore no thought for the morrow take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Troubled about many things. Are you troubled about a lot of things and it getting you down? It will. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You don't have to carry the burdens alone. Take them to the Lord. Learn to prioritize. Don't try to prove how strong and how brave you are. Trust in the Lord. Trouble about many things. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. The priority is the things of God. And Mary has chosen the good thing, which she'll never relinquish or be sorry of the time. Focus on the things of God. Start out your day. Brother Danny, if you'll come, get us a song ready. Learn to recognize when you're getting in trouble. I've been at this a pretty good while. I've been able to juggle and to manage and take care of all these things. And some people actually get to the point to where they thrive at doing that. Did you know it? Because they feel some self-accomplishment about it. But in that whole process, they're consumed. Their minds are consumed about the troubles of many things. And they're unable to focus upon God. and the things of God. One thing is needful. That's the things of God. Put God first, and these other things, they'll be worked out. They'll be worked out. Let's stand together this morning. If you're here today and you're saved, you know, we need to be able to cast our cares upon Him. If you're not, you're on your own, and that's a scary place to be. Jesus does not want you to be on your own. He died on the cross so that you wouldn't be on your own. If you don't know Him, we ask you to come to meet Him today. The Lord open your heart into the ways of salvation. Shall we sing, Brother Danny?